Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Janet McHenry, directs the prayer ministries at the Bridge Church in Reno and serves on the California leadership team for the National Day of Prayer. She is a national speaker and the author of 27 books, including the best-selling Prayer Walk, The Complete Guide to the Prayers of Jesus, and her new release, Praying Personalities. Janet has helped others foster a hope-filled, purposeful lifestyle built on prayer and God's Word for more than two decades. Good morning, Janet. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Thank you so much for having me. It's just such a delight to share a few thoughts today with your listening people.
Janet, I'm so delighted to have you on the show today. I think prayer is one of the main issues that Christians struggle with. And I'm going to start out my question by asking you that, my interview, by asking you that very question. Why do we as Christians find it so hard to establish a strong, consistent prayer life?
Well, first, I think we're probably way too busy. And second, I think probably we feel we just don't do prayer right. I mean, perhaps we've had people tell us, you know, that we should journal all our prayers. And perhaps we've had people tell us that we should keep a prayer notebook of those various kinds of requests and date them with the answers and all of that. And then perhaps we've had some enthusiastic friends tell us that we should have a prayer closet and go there for an hour every day. But none of that feels like us. You know, it just feels like I don't think I fit into any of those shoulds. And so I think that people have a lot of confusion about prayer as well. So that's what I try to just offer, a lot of grace and a lot of practical help.
Janet, you yourself have been doing this for, well, two decades, so we're looking at 20 years now, and yet there must have been a time when you felt a need to change your prayer lifestyle. What circumstances brought that about?
Well, my praying lifestyle was pretty much non-existent except for a four-letter word, and that was help, which I said often. But one day, I found myself sort of in a literal, you know, hump. I had huffed and puffed going up and down stairs. I needed painkillers to get to sleep. And then I had weight gain. And one afternoon, I found myself in a crumpled heap after I had walked out my back door. And I simply decided right then that I needed to do something about my health. But I also needed to spend more time with God. I knew that He had wanted me to spend more time with Him. So I determined when I was getting myself up off the concrete that I would go out and I would walk a little bit in the morning and that I would pray while I walked. And it started as simply like that. And I prayed for my family and I prayed for my marriage and for my job as a high school English teacher. Kind of the whole idea of my praying during that walking time changed one day when I watched a young dad pull up in front of a small daycare center in our little town here in the Sierra Valley. I saw that dad hand over his little blanketed baby girl to a woman up on the sidewalk who worked at the daycare center. I knew both of them well. And that little girl said, "Bye, Daddy, I love you." And I knew right then that God had me less on the streets of my community for the minus of my prayers, but more for the needs of others. So my walking and taking care of prayer practice turned into one of prayer walking, which is, as Steve Hawthorne would say, praying on sight with insight. You simply open up your eyes, you think about the people in the homes you pass, you pray for them, you think about the businesses in your community as you walk by and you pray for them. Perhaps you walk around the schools and you're in a park setting and you see people there. You simply pray for whatever God puts within your eyesight. So that was life-changing. It changed me physically. It changed me emotionally because the depression that had clouded most of my adult life lifted. And then it also released a lot of fear out of my life. I started doing that about 25 years ago, Patty, and it really has been a privilege because I've also seen lots of changes in my community. So I just encourage everyone to go out prayer walking.
That sounds delightful, Janet. And I think the neat thing about it is that it not only draws us closer to God, but it brings us out of ourselves. I think we develop probably more compassion and more understanding for other people and their plight in life instead of looking inward as we tend to do. It's so easy to get into the poor me thing and if only this was going on or if only I had that. And when you look at other people and you realize how much more we have compared to what other people may have, I would think that prayer walking would be a way of really bringing that to light.
That's absolutely true, Patty, because your focus becomes outward as opposed to inward. And I think interceding is definitely something, you know, praying for other people and their needs is something that, you know, I hope to continue to incorporate in my life, you know, wherever I am. Part of what happened with me was I became so crazy passionate about walking and praying for my community that I tried to get everybody to do it. You heard me say this earlier even. But then one day I realized after I'd heard a couple women come up to me after speaking and they said, but Janet, we can't walk, what do we do? I began thinking in terms of how could prayer connect in some way with our personality? How could we actually think about there are different ways the different characters prayed in the Bible, for instance. Is there a natural way for me to pray as opposed to any of those other kinds of ways that people do, be it writing a journal or going to your prayer closet or prayer walking, such as I do?
Tell me, Janet, I read your book, Praying Personalities, Finding Your Natural Prayer Style, and I really enjoyed it because it kind of made me not feel so guilty about my prayers sometimes because, as you mentioned in the book, we tend to get into these rote prayers where it's kind of a list of this, this, and this, and would you please watch over this one, this one, this one, and this one, and also would you please take care of this? So what I really enjoyed about your book was that it goes into the fact that we do have personalities, and man, you really delved into the different personality testings and different types of personalities that we have for different reasons, and I thought that was great. But before we get into the book, I wanted to ask you real quick, well, this was in the book, what is the difference between a prayer life and a praying life?
Well, years ago, Jennifer Kennedy Dean, who was a friend of mine who passed away, she wrote some significant works on prayer. And what I learned from her was that, you know, we talk about my prayer life. And what is that? That might be 5 minutes of, that, you know, pocket of time, as opposed to having more of a sense of a praying without ceasing sort of mindset, so that wherever you are, you understand there's a need for prayer, so that you are in a continual state of dependency on God and communication with Him. So I encourage people to try to find that natural praying style so that you have more of a sense of being in touch with God all day long.
In your book, we started to discuss your book, and I want to get into it more deeply now, Janet. You talk about the different biblical praying styles, which before I read your book, I really didn't think about there being different biblical praying styles. But tell us about what you discovered on that score when you did your research.
First off, I found that there's really a lot of freedom for us to pray in the way that God has created us. So we could look at different characters in the Bible. I studied the Bible from cover to cover to identify the various ways that people prayed, such as Job. Job was a thinker. He tried to process the pain that he was experiencing, and he simply wanted to know the why. And I thought, we often are like that too, right? We'll often get to that place where we don't understand the pain, the circumstances we're going through. We ask that question, why? But then you have someone like Moses, who actually debated. He dialogued with God in a debate, trying to prevent God from calling him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt
yes.
into the promised land. And then you have someone like Gideon. He was a sign requester. He goes, well, show me, God. I need more faith. Show me. So, you know, show me these signs. So he was bargaining with God. And then you have some people in the Bible who were more emotive in their expression, such as Hannah. She said, look on my misery. She desperately wanted a child, and she's crying out to God in 1 Samuel 1. And then when God grants her request, the very next chapter, we read this beautiful, beautiful poetic response of praise from her. And then we have David. Similarly, he wrote half of the Psalms, half of the 150 Psalms that we have, and they are Psalms of thanksgiving and a lot of lament in there as well, penitential Psalms, wisdom Psalms. And then we have also those who were more physical in their expression of prayer, such as Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, others who combined the practice of fasting with prayer. Even people like Deborah, she had a poetic response when she experienced victory. The King Josiah allowed the word, you know, the word of God, the book of the law, to inspire prayer, to inspire a response. And then even people like Joshua, it's so interesting for me to study his prayer life, because God gave Joshua instructions, and Joshua's response was not an argument, was not a debate. He obeyed. So we have that physical response of obedience to God's instructions to him. Later on, we hear a little complaint, but as a whole, Joshua heard from God. Joshua obeyed. So perhaps even physical actions can be an expression of prayer, an expression of faithfulness to God.
Well, I love to talk to somebody like you who does. You study the Bible and you come up with these analyses, and it's like, wow, yeah, there are all kinds of different prayer personalities actually in the Bible. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. I thought that was most interesting when in that first section of your book, and I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but there are four sections to your book, four parts. And in part two, you define personality temperaments. Does a person generally fit into one personality category, and why or why not?
First of all, we need to just recognize that these various personality theories are theories, and that they're man-created, and that the best way for us to understand ourselves is to read God's word and to read what he says about us. And I think we can discover a lot about ourselves and who we are as we see the God's word, which is kind of like a mirror, right?
Yes.
But we can also look at these psychological theories about personality or temperament, all the way from the Greek temperaments from ages ago, all the way up through more of the modern ones like Myers-Briggs and so forth. So what I did was in that second section was to look at eight of those kinds of personality theories and then examine them, you know, what are those different personalities, and then what could be a logical kind of praying lifestyle if you identify with that personality. And most people, Patty, really are a combo of a couple of them. You know, and I don't like putting people in boxes, but we can see ourselves in more than one of those kinds of categories.
Yeah, and I was quite impressed with all the ones that you came up with, because I'm familiar with some of them, but there were some that I'd never even heard of. And then not only did you do the different scales and testings and things, but then you talked about like generational personalities, and you know how we have what, from the greatest generation, clear up to, I think it's called Gen Z now, you know, and all these different ways of categorizing the way we think and the way we act. So, yeah, I thought it was really, really good. How accurate? Well, you kind of answered that question when I asked you earlier. These assessments are not necessarily 100% accurate, I would say. Or how do you feel about that?
I agree with you. Because they are man-created, first off.
Yes.
Even the praying personalities quiz that I created it. But I think what we can do, and what I tried to do in the book, was to look at the underlying questions. And instead of taking a quiz necessarily, a personality quiz, to look at the underlying kinds of questions and think about them a little more deeply and, you know, try to be realistic about them. Because the problem when we take some of these personality tests is that we might go one of two ways. We might think less of ourselves. And we might look for that answer that is kind of humbling in a way. Or we might think more of ourselves. Or we would, I hope to be that. Or I'd like to be that person. What I tried to do in the quiz that I created is there is no right answer. There is no perfect answer. Just be, you know, completely honest with yourself, go with your gut. What is your instinctive first answer? And that's probably going to be the correct one.
Yeah. And when I took your personality quiz, I really enjoyed that. I didn't get to get through all of it, but I glanced at it. I said, I've got to do this. But the problem I run into, as you mentioned, is, I would really like to be this way. So I'll go ahead and check that. Or I'll think to myself, I'm not really sure what I am. So I can see where, there's a lot of room for inaccuracy in there. And nobody's ever going to pinpoint a person to be exactly what they are. Because like you say, we are God created. We'll take a break here where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen. My guest today is Janet McHenry, author of Praying Personalities, Finding Your Prayer Style. If you would like to listen to this episode again or hopefully refer to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's spelled pattisheen.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a more information tab that provides links to guest websites, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Janet. Janet, talk to us about the next section in your book and what you address there.
The next part of the book explores different spiritual gifts. And people ask me, why did you include spiritual gifts? And the idea is that I think it can also definitely connect with our personality and our behavior. Some of the gifts, the literal giftings that God has given us, to think about why do we do what we do for Jesus? What motivates us? How is love motivating us? And do we want to strengthen people? Are we more word-oriented or deed-oriented? And to think about, how would prayer connect with any of those 20 different spiritual gifts that Paul lists in 3 of his letters? I tackled those as well. And then if people knew, for example, that they had a gift of exhortation or a gift of wisdom or a gift of teaching, then I offer several other different kinds of perhaps prayer styles that might definitely connect with that spiritual gift.
Right. And that was one of my favorite parts of the book. I've always been fascinated with spiritual gifts ever since I took a class at our church. Our pastor at the time did a study, I should say, on spiritual gifts, and that particular issue has always fascinated me. And once again, how do these gifts influence our prayer life? Well, if you have someone who has the gift of teaching, they are not going to feel uncomfortable probably saying a public prayer in a prayer group. Whereas you have somebody that has a different kind of spiritual gift, they're going to be like, no way, I'm not praying in front of anybody except God, you know? So I could very well see where where that would play a big part in your book, I absolutely understand why you would have included that section, and I thought it was great.
Thank you. Yes, I totally agree with that, too. And even parent, we can consider, oh, I'm very outgoing. And so even if we're praying as a family, if I call on, you know, Sam, who's not my child, if I call on Sam and say, Sam, will you pray for the family now? And that very introverted child would feel a sense of panic, a sense of freeze, a sense of, I'm not going to get the words right. And so we need to be able to honor one another with the various kind of personality traits that we have, the giftings that we have, and just give them the freedom to pray in the way that's going to be, you know, the best for them.
Yes, I agree with you. And the last part of your book, Janet, identifies the four classic types of people who pray. Share what you've learned about those four types.
Well, as I began to think of examining all of those different kind of personality theories and thinking about the biblical praying styles, I decided perhaps there could be four different praying personalities. The first of those I call the problem solver, because that person approaches prayer as a problem-solving technique, and which is absolutely the right thing to do, because we go to the problem solver with that issue. Instead of trying to manipulate it or fix it, or if we initially go to prayer like, God, I don't know what to do, please help me. So perhaps for that person, something like prayer walking or posting reminders. I have post-it notes all over the place. I have them in my calendar. I don't keep a journal. I don't keep a notebook, but I have post-it notes. And when the answer comes, I'm like, thank you, Lord. And then I can kind of toss it aside. They might also be the kind of person who would organize a prayer loop or a prayer group, because they have natural kinds of leadership kind of skills. And then the friend of God. And I think we mentioned earlier, like looking at those testings, I would love to check the box that would say, oh, I'm a friend of God, you know. But this person is very social, is very relational. And so praying in groups is going to be their thing, because they love people and it energizes them. They love worship. I have a friend who tells me, Janet, we'll just turn worship music on. I'm like, no, that's kind of not my thing. I love to go and worship, but not for my study time, not for my prayer time. It's just not what I do. So maybe they're going to, you know, be the mom on the go. They're in the van, they're headed a half an hour to the soccer game. And she says, let's pray. We're going to popcorn pray in the car. And then you just pray about something that you're worried about. Or maybe your sister, you know, your sister is worried about. So those are kinds of a lifestyle, I think, for the friend of God. Then the organized prayer. This person is very disciplined in nature, very devoted, has systematic kinds of practices. They might have the idea that they could journal their prayers. They might have that prayer notebook that works perfect for them. They have a list system. Maybe also they have a creative way to express prayers. You know, maybe they're reading God's word. And so they, with colored pencils or pens or something like that, they're writing out a prayer in the margin, and that's what works for them. They might also be the kind of person who has a prayer closet, because they're a creative and they want to make a beautiful space, whether that is a literal closet or that's just their cozy corner in their bedroom or living room. Then the peace seeker is the fourth kind. And this person seeks prayer because prayer brings peace into their life. They are more informal in nature. They might want something to help jumpstart their prayers. So they might want an app on their phone that they could turn to each day. They might want to have prayer books so that they have a book of prayers. And then, you know, each day there is one, something they can read. And then they pray the prayer that's there, and that inspires them to continue on in prayer. They might have a certain practice that could help them develop a discipline. Maybe they decide every time they drink coffee, they're going to pray. And that becomes a rote kind of a practice for them, because they have the characteristic of faithfulness. Again, these are just some suggestions. And with each of these And throughout the book, literally, I have hundreds of these kinds of ideas of ways. If you resonate with Abraham, if you resonate with Moses, or if this personality theory for how you're seeing yourself, all the way through the books, through the spiritual gifts as well, I offer all these different ideas for prayer.
Yes, and you just had so much to offer, Janet. It was just a delight to read your book. At the end of each, well, not even at the end of each chapter, but the end of each section, you have, what did you call it? I can't recall now. Praying priorities or something like that for each category that you discussed. And then you had your discussion questions as well. So I really enjoyed that. Out of the many things that I enjoyed about your book, I just wanted to share that with listeners and let them know that this book really, it does. It makes you analyze yourself and the way that you relate to the Lord, I think.
Thank you, Patty. Yes, I offer for each of those different sections and the chapters, all these prayer pointers is what they're called.
Pointers.
And they're just,
I knew it was started with a P. Prayer pointers, you're right, yes.
And the idea was just to have some very practical, down-to-earth kinds of ideas. You know, give it a shot. See if it connects with you. For me, it was mm-hmm. prayer walking. That's what changed my life. It changed my perspective. And, you know, I've been on a 20-year search to figure out kind of this, how do you get to that place, as Paul said, where you are praying without ceasing. And for me, it was prayer walking. When I developed what I call prayer walking eyes, that wherever I am, there's a need for prayer. Be that here at my desk right now, looking at my calendar, mm-hmm. praying over the things there. People come and go. The UPS driver, he's another reason for prayer today. So it's
sure.
I think we try to complicate it a lot, and it's really much simpler than that.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I agree. And I happen to have your book pulled up here on my computer. And an example of some of the questions you asked. I don't even know what chapter this is from, but one of the questions in your discussion questions, is prayer an emotional experience for you? Explain your answer. David wrote half of the Psalms. Which of the different kinds of Psalms, laments, thanksgiving, etc., appeals to you the most? Do any of the prayer pointers that you mentioned above appeal to you? And I just really enjoyed that format in your book because it made a person stop and think about, you know, how does this relate to me? So I wanted to share that with listeners and let them know that I think this would be a great book to get if there is a question about your prayer life. And I think for most of us, there is. I know I used to have that feeling of, oh my goodness, if I forgot to pray for my brother-in-law today or whatever, you know, that's a terrible thing. But of course, that's not true. I mean, I don't know that we have to address every single person in our whole family and our extended family and our in-laws and everybody every single day and every friend that we know. I think that we can kind of stagger our subjects more or less. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I believe that God will call to mind those people who need prayer. You know, and I know that probably some people listening here are already thinking about, yeah, I couldn't get to sleep last night and I tossed and I turned and all of a sudden I remembered, oh, maybe God has me here to pray. And so God leads me. Who needs prayer mm-hmm. right now? You know, maybe they are tossing and turning and worrying about something else. And for me, it's usually my kids, you know, one of their concerns. We have four adult kids. And so God will raise someone to mind or a situation to mind. And a lot of people sometimes will say, well, I just get distracted in prayer. You know, I can't pray because I start thinking about all these other things. So my answer to that would be, distractions also are a reason for prayer. Pray for those distractions. Put them into God's hand. Because if we're constantly thinking about all these other things when we're doing our quiet time, then, you know, I think we're kind of worried about them. And so we can just give them over to God and then move on. Move on in prayer.
Yes. Yeah, and just like we started to discuss at the very beginning of the show, Janet, we're also busy anymore. We're just also caught up in this busyness all the time. And I think that's, in my opinion, I think that's kind of part of you know, Satan's plan. keep us so darn busy that we don't have time
to communicate with God, because we just have all these things we feel like we just have to get done. And probably 90% of them are not near as much of a priority as we try to make them.
I agree. And my tact at the beginning of the book is to kind of take the reader off the hook a little bit and say, hey, you know, it's going to be all right. Let's think about some of these things. Stop, shed the shoulds, shed all those shoulds that you thought people you know, have been telling you over the years what you should do with your prayer life. And maybe that's even come from a conference speaker, someone like me, who says, go prayer walk. But at the end of the book, I kind of put the reader back on a little bit. I will just confess that right now, because if we're only doing sort of on the go, on the run kind of prayer, probably we need to examine that a little bit. And, you know, that because here's the thing. Prayer is less about answers and it's more about access. If we think about even the gifts for holidays and things like that, the gifts will fade away, but we will have the memories of those conversations and experiences together. We want to have that kind of relationship with our Creator who made us. And so prayer is less about answers, more about access, and a lot about listening, too, to just have that time where we just take a few moments and just say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. To be able to sit there and wait for his direction, wait for his counsel, wait for his affirmation.
Yes, I agree. And I know one of the things that you hear a lot is that you should be on your knees to pray. Well, let me tell you what, it's been a long time since I've been on my knees. And when I'm there, I have one heck of a time getting back up off of them. So, and I think that's true of a lot of people in my age group, you know. After a while, you just can't do that physically. But there's nothing wrong with praying in the car or praying while you're doing the dishes or folding the laundry kind of thing. And I think that's been a lesson for me to learn. And you can pray anytime. And that's the beauty of our Lord, that he's listening all the time.
That is so true, because even Brother Lawrence, who wrote the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, which is a book about praying without ceasing, his prayer started when he was washing dishes. You know, and he asked God to be with him in that simple little act, you know, and he'd ask God to be with him in the next simple little act as he went through his day. I think it's as simple as that for you and for me, too.
I always thought it would be kind of neat to write a book called Is It Okay to Pray in the Shower? Because sometimes when I've got a really busy day, I feel like that's the only time I have to really concentrate on prayer.
I love your approach, Patty. That's beautiful.
I do want to ask you about your quiz, the praying personality quiz that you put in the appendix. I think you said that you created that yourself. Is that correct? It didn't come from a collaborative effort or just something that you came up with?
I created it myself. I did seek, after it was put together, I did seek some counsel, some consultation time with someone, a linked personalities trainer. She wrote, Linda Goldfarb wrote the linked books with Linda Gilden. There are several of them, and they are a Christian-based approach toward the personalities. And so she reviewed that with me. We made a couple tweaks, and it's on a beautiful website called prayingpersonalities.com. And I think it will provide a little insight and a little direction for anyone interested in the concept and interested in the book itself, too.
Nice. Well, yes, I really enjoyed that personality quiz. I would really encourage listeners, if you do have questions about prayer or you feel like you would like to enrich your prayer life in some way, this is a book that I would highly recommend. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us, Janet, before we say goodbye?
Well, I, you know, just like to encourage them. You know, I myself, I've written 6, 7, 8 books on prayer now. You know, but even still in recent years, I found myself saying, God, I'm a prayer failure. You know, I think that we can, instead of comparing ourselves to what we see others do or what we think others are doing, just seek God, you know, think about who we are, what fits with our personality, what fits naturally with our lifestyle, and then pursue that.
Well, I want to thank you for everything you shared with us today, Janet. And again, I would recommend to listeners that you purchase Janet's book. It's available on Amazon, I'm sure, and probably other places as well. And again, the name of it is Praying Personalities, Finding Your Natural Prayer Style. And Janet, it's just been great to spend time with you today, to get to know you and to listen to your thoughts on a subject that you have studied and that you know very well. So may God continue to bless you in your ministry.
And to him be the glory, Patty.
Amen. Listeners, in closing, thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That's spelled PATTISHEN.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheen. Until next time, God bless you.